Hello, this is Nairi. Welcome to Stolen Our Hearts, the podcast about ferrets and other exotic pets. I'm actually on honeymoon right now, so I brought my laptop and my headphones. The other day we went to Raptor Domain in Kangaroo Island, which is a rescue facility for raptors and reptiles, and they do a few shows a day for tourists. They're free flight shows where the birds, which have been trained using positive reinforcement, fly over your heads and interact with the crowd. So for example, a magpie was taught how to throw rubbish into a bin. Others were hiding around the arena, which is a natural bush sort of environment arena, and came when they were called. There was an awesome owl that did that. They also pull people from the crowd to come and hold some of the birds. So I got to hold a Nanking kestrel. And then later on, because it's our honeymoon, we decided to pay for, it wasn't expensive, a hold of a wedge-tailed eagle. Wedge-tailed eagles are like 5 kilograms. That's the weight of like 5 ferrets. hugely powerful beaks and claws. And it's the claws that make birds raptors. Raptors are birds that catch their prey with their feet, not their beaks. Raptor Domain also had scorpions in jars that were being, or not jars, in little terrariums that were being passed around. And they had snakes, so I got to hold a woman python and an albino children's python. And there were others going around the crowd too, but I didn't get a chance. And there were several lizards going around, so there was the shingleback lizards and bearded dragons, and I got to hold a shingleback lizard. I suppose technically these animals aren't pets, but it was very clear that the keepers at Raptor Domain really love the birds and reptiles and invertebrates that they care for. They were calling them gorgeous and beautiful and giving them lots of pats. And lots of them were incapable of living in the wild anymore because of injuries or being rescued as babies. And the keepers slash rescuers obviously spend a lot of time with them. These shows are a way of raising money for their rescue efforts. A few of the things that they're really keen on telling us about were the dangers of poisons to the birds in nature. So if you're poisoning rats or mice around your property, maybe you should get one of the ones that poisons them and then traps them so they don't escape. Because birds see a mouse running around and they eat it, and it's a poisoned mouse that's actually dying, and so then it kills the bird too. You also should really be careful with poisoned or potentially poisoned rodents with your outdoor ferrets and your cats and dogs. They were suggesting that a way of managing rodents in your property is to encourage more raptors to come to your property because they can kill many rats or mice a night. You can encourage them to come to your property with nest boxes. They were also keen to tell us that power lines often kill native birds, and that if you call your power company, so I guess SA Power for here, not the company that bills you, the company that organises the power for your government, for your local government or council, that they're actually quite keen on stopping bird deaths. So if you notice a power line that has many dead birds under it quite often, you can call them and they'll give sort of a whirligig thing that they'll attach it for you, rather. A whirligig thing that gets attached to the power line so that the birds can see the power line and not hit into it and die. So that's some ways you can look after the native animals of Australia and probably other countries too. So today's episode is about birds. Unfortunately, I messed up. So I record doing, it's called double ending, and so one half, I record my half of the conversation, they record their half of the conversation, and then in editing I combine it together and it gets the best quality sound. Unfortunately, somehow, I must have got excited when trying to combine the two, and I was getting ready for the wedding and I must have accidentally deleted my half of the conversation and then saved it as just a blank document somehow. But luckily, my friend who was recording, when we record, we're meant to be wearing headphones so that we can only hear our side of the conversation in the recording. She wasn't, so you can actually hear my side of the conversation in her recording. And I think it was actually a pretty good interview. So I'm going to put it up here. So I'm sorry for the lack of quality for this one. Hopefully you'll excuse me, and I'll be trying my best not to do this ever again. It's really hard to redo interviews because you lose the momentum and you lose the feel of it. So this episode is with my friend Robin, and she has a pet bird.
Yes, thank you. Are you going to do that all the time?
Probably. He doesn't want to be left out, so he always does it.
That's right.
He's such an attention hog. It's just crazy.
So I'm here with my friend Robin, and I'm very excited because I actually haven't had a Zoom chat with her before. We've been talking for years now online. And
a few.
Yes, yeah. She's... She's my very creative friend. We do lots of crafty things. So, Robin, can you tell me a bit about yourself, please?
Well, I am living in Melbourne, which is in the middle of yet another lockdown. I think it's going to end sometime around mid-September. They're not sure. Anyway, I've been doing like arty stuff for... since I was at least 13 or 14. I remember when my grandmother bought me my very first model. It was a tiny little Harley Davidson model that she helped me put together. And then a friend in high school found out that I painted miniatures. And he gave me my very first miniature painting job. He said, "Here's a bucket full of miniatures. Here's $60. Paint them for me." So I'm like, okay. And of course, when you're a teenager, $60 is a fortune.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, what did I buy with it? I think I bought myself some new clothes, and then I think I took my grandparents out to dinner. Or something like, no, I helped them buy dinner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then spent the rest at school. Yeah, so I can do like miniature painting and make the little tiny dollhouse miniatures, 3D printing, polymer clay sculpting that I'm doing at the moment, making 3D
you've
models.
You've also made our logo, or my logo, for yes. Stolen Our Hearts.
I know, I was very proud of that. I wasn't too happy with how it turned out, but then I fixed it and I'm like, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It looks really good, especially with all the stickers I've printed. There's the stickers.
Cool. I can't wait.
I know. I'll have to cut them out. That'll be fun. They turned out really well.
So, yeah, we will have Stolen Our Heart ferret stickers available later on, listeners.
Yep.
So, you and... You've just announced there with that noise.
That's Stormy, yeah. He likes to join in. When I was doing my classes online for the uni course I was in, my diploma of animation, he had to join in, or he would make a huge noise in the background, and people were like, "What's that?" And I was like, "That's my bird. He doesn't like being left out." So he was allowed to join class. And people were like, "Oh, you have a bird. I'll go get mine." And there was another girl in class who had a parrot. What did she have? She had like a sun conure or something like that. And then someone else had their dog, and someone else had their cat. So they all had to join in.
It's the best part of Zoom classes, I think. Getting to see everyone's pets. That time of the lesson.
Yeah. But he'd always interrupt, didn't he, Birdo? Because you don't like being left out. He's very chatty. When I get on the phone with my partner, he has to join in. He'll do his little peekaboo whistle, or his hello, or blow kisses. Aren't you, bud? You can't be left out. When I was trying to record earlier today, he kept chirping. I'm like, no, I need to do this. So he is the fifth bird I've had. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Before him...
Is he a cockatiel?
Yeah. Cinnamon-pied cockatiel.
Okay.
Cinnamons are pretty common, but he's pied because he's got these two little stripes down his beak. At first I thought he just had a dirty beak, but no, he has these two little lines down either side of his beak, and that makes him a pied cinnamon. Yeah,
right. Means,
yeah. And before him I had a pair of lovebirds, Snugglepot and Cuddlepie.
Oh, cute names.
They were, I just thought, what is the most Australian names I could possibly give these birds?
Yes. For the non-Australian listeners, they're these Edwardian era books about these two little
gumnut babies.
They're called Snugglepot and Cuddlepie. Look them up; they're very cute.
By May Gibbs. Yep. My mum bought the books for my sister and I when we were little. She still has them. These are like the hardback books with the shiny covers. You can't get them anymore. Mm-hmm. They were a collector's edition. And I walked into Kmart before everything closed down, and there was Snugglepot and Cuddlepie all over, like this dishes and glasses and towels and
it's
baby onesies.
It's the new Kmart fad. Yeah. I love it, I have to say. Yeah. I'm like, yes, thank you.
Yeah. And before the lovebirds, I had a pair of budgies.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they met their demise at the hands of the cats I had at the time, so...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, wasn't a good idea, but you live and learn. So yeah, he's my current pet. I've owned cats. I've had five cats, something like that. Had to give them away for various reasons, and one, two, three rats. So
at different times or same time?
At different times. I had one, Bailey's. She was a white rat with a brown hood. We call it a brown hooded rat. So that was her. And then I had Gabrielle. She was a caramel hooded rat. I had Bailey's, then I had Tilly, and then I had Gabrielle. And I had Gabrielle right up to the time just before I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I had her for 2 years. Yeah.
Not too bad.
No, but I couldn't have her around while I was pregnant, so my daughter's dad decided that he would get his parents to look after the rat. And at first his mum's like, oh, I don't want a rat, they're smelly. And in the end, she spoils this rat shamelessly, gives her apple cider vinegar and slices of apple and corn chips and rings us every other day to say how the rat's doing. And
that's nice, though.
She ended up absolutely spoiling my rat rotten.
That's a nice thing.
It was, but unfortunately, Gabby ended up getting a tumour and had to be put down. It's common in rats her age.
I had a rat too. She was a grey hooded rat, and she also had a tumour. So she developed this golf ball sized tumour overnight.
Yeah, just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It was like not there on the Friday, and it was there on the Monday. We're like, we actually had it operated on because my parents were generous in that way, and we loved her so much.
We took her to,
we had her for a lot longer.
Yeah, Peter's mum actually took her to the vet, and he's like, it's not, I think, he said because
really
of
hard.
Her size, there was a good chance it could come back. And
definitely, and Matilda's did come back.
Yeah.
Like, after about 6 months, so, yes. And for a while we thought it was in her brain, because she was walking around with a head tilt, but it turned out she had an ear infection, so I was like, that's good. Antibiotics fixed that one.
But unfortunately, I think the vet said that because of the size of the tumour and where it was, we could operate, but most likely to come back and it would cause her pain.
Yeah,
and we're like,
exactly. You have to make the decisions.
Well, in the end...
Phone call.
No, sorry, my phone alarm. In the end, we decided it was kinder to have it put to sleep. So.
Yeah, I got it.
So since then, no more rats. I've had a couple of cats since then, but mostly just birds because they're easier to look after.
Mm-hmm. How long do cockatiels live for?
I think the lady at the pet store said 15 to 20 years.
Well, that is definitely better than a rat, especially if it's a if it's say a bird you love. Anyway.
Oh yeah, no, it's unfortunate that rats only live so long. They're so cute.
I know, it's little sample size pets.
Yeah,
like,
I think
lives.
What did the vet say? Because of their metabolism, they just they don't live very long, which is unfortunate.
Well, it's just so many animals don't live very long. It's just we've chosen to also love them. So.
Oh, I've loved every single one of my pets. Probably a little too much at times, but this one I absolutely adore. He's the first pet I've managed to keep for more than a year. I've had him just over 2 years now. So this little maniac keeps me occupied, keeps me happy, drives me insane. But because I have borderline personality disorder, sometimes it's a little difficult to cope with constant noise and distraction. And because cockatiels get really bonded to their owners, so unless you get them another bird, you have to put up with them demanding attention every 5 seconds. Well, 5 minutes, maybe, to be generous. Hey, Birdo. I was going to say that I wouldn't have it any other way. Even though it drives me bonkers at times, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I was going to ask, so how does he ask for attention? How does he hang around with you? What does he do?
Well, you probably heard him squawk just before.
Yes.
That's his, like, hey, 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 where are you? Hello? Hey, I'm
and
here.
And what does he want? What does he want from you?
usually wants, like, head rubs. So he puts his head down and, like, you know, you scratch the top of his head, he loves it. He'll sit there for ages and do it. And they make this little, like, trill kind of noise, which is their happy noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they also do beak grinding, which is what I call this, his squeaky beak.
Okay.
That's when they're content and they're ready to go to bed. So, yeah. Although he does sometimes does it in the middle of the day when he goes for a nap. I hear this little grinding noise and it's my bird. Like, with 1 foot up like a flamingo, perched in his cage, going to sleep. That means they're really happy. So I did a lot of reading up on cockatiel care before I got one, because I wanted to make sure I did everything the right way.
How did you know what sources were good sources to read about cockatiels? Because I think lots of people have issues with, you know, figuring out which is the correct information about their pet. Like, there's so much misinformation out there.
I know. I remember joining the cockatiel group on Facebook, and the information given was pretty consistent with what I read online. I also asked a couple of vets, and I remember speaking to the people at Vic Markets, Victoria Markets. Is like a public market in Melbourne City, and they had a pet store there. The poor little thing was stuck in this tiny little budgie cage up the back with like food and water and a swing.
Is that him, Stormy?
Yeah, that's where I found him.
That's where you got him from?
Yeah, just tucked up in the back, and I'm like, that's awful. And so I'm just like, I don't care how much he costs, I'm taking him home. So I did.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he had a bit of training before I took him home, because he knew how to step up.
Oh.
Yeah.
What training does he have?
Have
you trained him anymore?
A little bit. He knows, like, step up and don't chew on that and don't eat that. No.
Does he listen to that?
What two-year-old listens to their parent? He does sometimes. I've taught him how to play peekaboo. He's really cute. Training him at the moment to wear a harness so I can take him outside, but because there are so many birds around, especially ravens, it's not really a good idea. Because he would be considered lunch by a lot of the birds out there. So if I do take him, it's in a travel cage or a carrier.
In the house, does he just fly around, or is he in his cage and then he comes out occasionally, or is he just in there for night time?
Night time, and if he needs a timeout. sometimes they do. They get really like anxious and upset if they don't see you. They're very much a social kind of bird. So if you leave them for too long, they can get a little overexcited. So he usually gets a 5-minute timeout till he calms down. But yeah, only in his cage for if I have to go out or going to sleep. But the rest of the time, he just does whatever he wants. And poops everywhere, don't you? Got it. Apparently you can toilet train them.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's got a bird, might even be a cockatiel, who is apparently toilet trained to go in the, like on top of the cage that drops through.
I've been trying to teach him to go on like paper, newspaper. I just put down some newspaper and just every time he poops on the paper, I give him praise and tell him he's a good boy, and he gets a head scratch. So he's learning, but I'm pretty slack, so I need to keep up with that so there's no more poop everywhere.
That issue with my pets too, so.
Whenever Tim held him, he's like, don't you poop on me, and like a minute later, he's like, oh man, I'd be like, he pooped on you, right? He's like, yeah. I said, well, you jinxed it. By asking him not to poop on you, you did that. And for some reason, he loves mobile phones. I don't know why. If I put it down, he'll peck at the screen. Or if I'm on the, like, if I'm sitting in bed and I'm talking to someone, he'll decide that instead of sitting on my shoulder, the best place is to sit on the phone.
Do you think he can see the script, like what's happening on the screen, or
see?
I don't know what bird eyes are like. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's
he's
the
sitting
reflection.
On top of the phone without holding it up.
Yeah, look, see.
He likes the lights and things.
Yeah, but it's really weird. Apparently, like you know, with these sort of phones, you touch the screen, it lights up. He can do that with his beak.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing?
One of the bird apps, like games.
Should be apps for birds where they can like peck at little ants or something on the screen.
Yeah, totally.
What he's doing is called beak banging. That means he's claiming that as his.
Right.
Yeah, or attention.
It's not. It's not so. Sorry.
No, darling, it's not. Oh, there you go. That was a kiss. This is what he does. You alright? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Oh, I don't know how that can hurt. It doesn't hurt you doing that. It's got a screen protector.
This is what their beak's for.
Oh, I just like, oh, that hurt. Yes, you. Okay, that's enough. Yes.
What does he eat?
There we go.
That's so cute.
Stomach. Oh, sorry. Wait. Wants to join in.
Definitely.
Yes, thank you. Peekaboo. That's the peekaboo.
That's cute.
Peekaboo. Okay. That's enough. Yes, peekaboo. Thank you.
It's alright. It's relevant ambient noises.
He just started going off. You little show off.
That's cute.
Now he's quiet. He's like, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
He eats
solo.
Seed, like bird seed, but he also gets, he likes corn. He loves his corn. He's a fiend for it. And peas, because, of course, they're sweet and they're crunchy. But he gets a mixture of, there's like a fruit mix that I give him. He also gets fresh veggies. Loves his spinach. There's this mix of food and like veggies and fruits called chop, which is basically all the best like fruit and veggies for them. So like it's like there's a broccoli, carrot, and spinach and chickpeas and all that kind of stuff. You chop it up really fine. And they love it. He gets a treat occasionally of noodles or spaghetti. Just a tiny bit. That's allowed. I did a lot of research. Anytime I go to feed him anything, I immediately look it up and see if it's okay. And if it's not, he doesn't get it. But he doesn't care if it's bird food or not. If I'm eating it, he wants it. It's food, so he wants it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're his flock, so
yes. I took him to the vet a little while ago for his yearly checkup, and the vet basically said that he was in very good health, or as Tim put it, rude health. He's healthier than I am. he was like, I was so worried that I haven't been looking after him properly, but no. He's a tiny little bit underweight, but otherwise he's fine.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I'm just like, put bird on scale, and like, he barely weighs a thing. Hey, Bobo? Aren't you?
Tiny.
You little chonker? Aren't you? He loves to do this. As soon as I put him on my arm, he's like straight up the arm under my shoulder. Aren't you?
Didn't pre-ask you this. What's the worst thing he's destroyed?
My engagement ring.
No!
He chewed a couple of the diamonds out of it.
Oh my god.
I don't know how, but he managed to peck loose two of the diamonds and swallowed one.
Oh no! Did he poop it out?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to search through his poop to get it. Scared the absolute crap out of me. I rang the vet in a panic, and it's like, how small was it? And I'm like, really tiny, like the size of a full stop. And she's like, oh, it's okay, he'll poop straight out. I'm like, my bird just swallowed a diamond, okay? I was worried that it had hurt him inside, but no, he was totally fine.
Yeah, like cut him up something.
No, it was small enough, like the size of a bird seed, so it didn't matter. But yeah, that and a printer cable. He chewed through.
Expensive too.
Expensive appetite. Hey, you. I've actually got to take the... Oh, there he goes. I've actually got to take the ring back to the jeweller when it's open to get it repaired.
Yeah.
A $500 engagement ring ruined it.
Yes.
I had no idea that they'd come out, but apparently they did. The diamonds.
Well, I guess the beaks are made for, like, prying little things open, so... Just got the little prongs.
Completely just just chewed it. I'm like, because I was having a nap, and he loves shiny things. And next minute, I hear this sort of crunchy, and I'm like, oh no, what's going on? And there's a diamond missing, and I'm like, oh no.
Oh my god.
And I was horrified. I'm like, okay, that's going away.
I have nightmares about my engagement ring happening. Like, things happening to us. Oh my god. Yeah.
Well, keep it away from the fur kids, and you'll be fine.
They don't have access to it, so.
Yeah.
Though they do like removing things that they think don't belong on your body, so like they'll try and take my earrings out.
If it's shiny,
your moles or something, she'll be like, "Oh, remove that. That shouldn't be there."
Yeah, actually, I've got a scar on my hand where I had surgery ages ago, and he was pecking at the scar, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's plucking the little hairs on either side of it, trying to groom me, and I'm like, why? But apparently that's what they do. They groom their people. Tim had him on his shoulder, and he's like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, he's grooming you. And he goes, what? I said, yeah. He was just plucking at his hair, and that's his way of grooming.
What do you need to do to look after him?
For Stormy, he gets a bath twice a week. Yep, because they get a lot of feather dust.
Okay.
Yeah, because like there's like when the feathers come through, there's like a little keratin sheath around it, and that'll break down as the feather develops and grows, and it turns into like little bits of dust, and there's always tiny bits of feathers, so they're very dusty birds, so he gets a bath. So I take him into the shower, and he'll stand under the shower and just sort of like just stand there and just enjoy it and clean himself. And then once he's done, he'll flap himself dry, and of course I get water all over me for it. Because he's like, okay, I've had my shower, now it's your turn. There's water everywhere. I used to try putting him in a little tub of water, didn't like it. Tried a spray bottle, didn't like it. Put him in the shower, loves it.
Yeah.
loves a shower. I might get him a bird bath eventually. But no. Yeah, twice a week is the recommended recommended way of doing it in the dodo. Oh, especially when they molt. Oh my goodness, there's just fluff and dust everywhere. Twice a year.
Seasonal or constant?
Twice a year. Well, they always molt a little bit all during the year, but what I've been told by the vet, twice a year they have a major molt.
Okay.
Yeah, like beginning of winter and like when it gets warmer. So, yeah, there's always feather dust and feathers everywhere. Isn't that right, Birdo? Sometimes he looks a bit like a bald vulture because he's missing feathers. Like, his crest, he's lost a couple of his crest feathers a little while ago. Actually, no, he lost nearly all of them when he first had his first molt. His very first molt when he hit a year old. It was just like, his mohawk was gone. His little mohawk.
We'll need to share some photos of him on the Facebook and the blog and the website too, I think.
I've got the one of him in his food bowl. Yeah. I asked the vet, why does he sit in his food bowl? And he said, because it feels good.
Okay. Sensory.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see the picture. That's probably a bit...
I can't see that, but maybe you can email it to me after.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, there it is. I sent it on Facebook. There we are. He likes to sit in front of the fan after a bath and dry out. Yeah, he always looks like a drowned rat after a bath. He's all damp. It's really funny. He just looks all bedraggled and everything, but he's like just had his bath. So, yeah, he'll sit there in front of the heater or the fan, depending on the weather, and just fluff up and dry out. What else have I got in? I've got so many. I'm one of those crazy pet parents that just has to photograph everything.
Well, everything's cute, so.
Oh, yeah, he knows it too. He's such a poser. Every time I get the phone out to take a photo, he starts to pose. It's crazy. Where is he?
So, since you do so much arty related things, do you do art of him ever?
I've tried drawing him a couple of times. I was going to get a picture of him turned into a custom diamond painting, but I haven't had that done yet. Where is it? Oh yeah, there's this photo of him that I've sent you. He's on his swing and he looks absolutely adorable. But I think maybe I should try drawing him again. But I'd have to draw it from a photo because he'll never sit still. He doesn't like to sit still very often.
Make him a 3D modelled
friend. Maybe, but I want to get him a friend. Because the vet recommended highly that he gets a friend. So when things are open again and I can visit adoption centres, I'm going to adopt another birdie. Because I'm not going to buy one from a pet store. I'm all about adoption.
Yeah.
Yep. Best thing to do.
But sometimes you just see a pet in the pet shop and you just can't resist it.
Yeah, I look at it as rescuing them, pretty much.
When it was in that situation, yes. Same with my Chloe. She was very similar sort of situation there, so we couldn't resist grabbing her.
Yeah, I always look at it as a rescue rather than purchasing. It's like they shouldn't be in pet stores.
Mm.
No, it should all be like either buying from a recognised registered breeder or buying for or adopting. I will always adopt the pet. Does he cost me...
I agree.
What was it? $90 for him and $60 for the cage. I thought was really expensive. Because he was the only one there. So, I have to get him... a friend. That way then they can chirp to each other and not bother me.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I know he gets lonely. He can hear the other birdies outside. I'll put him near the window and he'll chirp to them. And then he gets really sad because they don't chirp back. Yeah, he sounds so lonely and I'm like, dude, there's a long time to bird. But
talk about his mental health. I was going to ask you, does having pets help you with your mental health or does it make it worse?
Oh no, absolutely. I'd probably go nuts without him. Absolutely. I think it is one of the best things you could do to help with like depression and stuff, because I mean, they're just adorable.
Gives you a reason to get up out of bed as well,
I found. Oh yeah, he won't let me sleep in.
Yeah.
I'm used to waking up at about 9:30. He gets up at 8:30 and I have to get up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If I don't, he'll start screeching and I'm like, no, I'll have to get up. It's just
perfect alarm clock.
Yeah, definitely. When I was living with a friend of mine before I got the place I'm in now, I swear, if it hadn't been for Stormy, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I highly recommend people who have, like, mental health disorders to either visit a shelter or adopt a pet or go hug a friend's pet. My daughter's mental health definitely improved when she got her cat, Oni.
Mm-hmm.
He was a rescue. Yeah.
My ferrets definitely helped me. They got me out of the house. I was going to, like, fun days and things with total strangers, and that's a huge deal with someone with anxiety. So
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And now I'm talking about them.
I think the podcast is a great idea. I get to talk to all kinds of people. I'll have to talk to Tim and see if he's got any fun stories about, like, the cats he grew up with and his mum's ducks and their chickens.
The ducks especially, because so many people have experiences with cats and dogs and not so many experiences with other animals. That's why I thought I'd focus on ferrets and, air quote, exotic pets, as in the ones you have to get a special vet for if you want good advice.
Yeah. One thing that really irritates me is that a lot of places only cater to cats and dogs. Like,
yes,
a lot of the pet stores or the specialist
yes.
pet stores, there's a store just down the road and it caters to dogs with, like, fancy beds and coats, shoes and all that kind of other crap. The only place I could really get toys for them is, like, the big stores like Pet Barn and stuff, but they're usually overpriced and they're not that safe for them.
Yeah, I've noticed that too with things there. I'm like, I'm not sure about that.
I'd rather go spend them like $20-$30 at the avian vet that I take him to buy a toy that is, like, vet certified safe, because they can't have anything with rope or string or anything like that, because it can it gets caught in their stomach or their crop and can cause, damage, and you have to get it removed surgically, and I'd rather not do that. So cardboard is okay, wood is okay, or certain types of wood. Plastic sometimes. But, if you're ever going to get your pet a toy, make sure that it's safe. That there's no loose edges or metal that they can get caught on. So, all right, you do it. Come here. Ow, don't bite me. Come here. He wants attention, but as soon as I go to get him, well, I suppose, you know, it's his house, so he'll bite. Why'd you go?
Okay.
Hmm? Yeah. Ow, cutie, pest. Hmm? Sometimes he, I think he picks up on how I'm feeling, and he'll be in a bit of a crabby mood as well.
Aww.
Well, pets know when you're not feeling great.
That is true.
Yeah. Do you ever have that with your, with Freya, or, and your ferrets?
To be honest, I haven't actually been in too many sad moods for a little while now, but,
cool.
I guess they get more cuddly, and, I know that some of my previous ferrets especially, they, you know, lick your tears away, or,
aww.
You know, whatever, it was really cute. I mean, you know, some people might be, oh, it's salty. But they seem to be paying a lot more attention,
cuddling. He'll sit on my shoulder and he'll do his little squeaky beak noise while he's sitting there. Thank you, buddy. Love your pets.
I was going to ask, are there any products or things you couldn't do without when it comes to Stormy care?
Toys, definitely. They always need something to keep their minds busy.
Okay.
They're very much into, like, foraging and exploring and stuff like that and chewing on stuff. Always got to keep them busy. Otherwise, they can actually get depressed. I've had it happen. I had like my lovebird, cuddle pie, snuggle pot had to be put down because she got really sick and couldn't be treated. And after that, he bonded to me, and I had to keep him busy. Otherwise, he'd get upset. And I actually had a bird that was on depression medication for a while.
Uh-huh.
It can happen.
Totally.
Because they're so smart, aren't you? Yeah, clever. But yes.
Same sort of thing happens with ferrets when one of their business passes away. We had to hand feed some of ours and be like, "It's okay, you know, lots of cuddles and."
Well,
a while to get over.
I ended up giving cuddle pie away to a friend of Tim's mum who runs a wildlife sanctuary. So mm-hmm. he's in a cage with other parrots and stuff and having the time of his life, last I heard. Mm-hmm. So he's doing all right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fruit and veggies, and definitely could not do without. Ah! Thanks, bird. He'll do that, turn around and whack him in the face with his tail. Definitely his fruit and veggies, very essential, balanced diet. Don't want a fat bird, do we? You can hear the birds outside, that's why his crest is up. That's his, like, what's going on sort of thing.
Last question from me before I have to head off, unfortunately, is do you have any... do you have any media that you recommend that has a cockatiel in it?
There are actually videos on YouTube of cockatiel sounds that people recommend you play for them so they can hear another bird, especially if they're a solitary bird like this one. Or when I go out, I'll put the TV on for him. But anything that's got bird sounds or another cockatiel, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Or even a recording of your own voice, like reading or something. You know, as long as I can hear you. Or if you can, like if you have a friend, have them look after him as well, look after them. Because they have to have their company or at least some kind of simulation, otherwise they get bored. And when they get bored, they start to feather pluck, and you don't want that.
No.
No. I've had that happen. It's not fun because Snugglepot passed away. Cuddle Pie, sorry, had it after his sister passed away. Ended up with a bald bird, so I had to put the cone of shame on him until his feathers grew back. He didn't like that.
No, that would be a tiny
cone
of shame.
It was just a piece of felt that I put around his neck. Because I tried a plastic cone and he just chewed it to pieces. But felt, he'd sort of pick at it and then leave it alone. But no, bored and bad for birds, definitely.
By media, I'm more meant for humans to watch, like anything. Do you watch anything that has cockatiels in it or any games?
There are some videos on YouTube by vets and bird owners to like learn about behaviours and stuff like that. But I would definitely... I'd contact bird vets, especially, and say, you know, what do you recommend in the way of, like, videos and stuff to watch? But there are always instructional videos online, but I'd always watch the ones who are by experienced bird owners, definitely. Not just anybody who's uploaded a video, but someone who's had them for ages, like, you know, at least 4 or 5 years and know what they're doing. Because, as you said, there's a lot of misinformation. But always do your research and always double check. Because otherwise you don't want a fat bird or a birdie who plucks their feathers. But they're not that difficult to look after once you've done your research. You just, better make sure that you keep them entertained.
Yeah.
Well, try to. But if you're working from home, it's a little difficult.
Yeah, I think it is for... most people working from home with pets or children.
As you probably noticed, there's been a couple of times I've tried to get some work done and I can't because Stormy wants attention.
Yes.
Yes. I think there are actually books out there you can read as well about bird care. I'm pretty sure, like, you can order online books about looking after cockatiels and parrots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Game I'm playing at the moment, Animal Paws, has some pretty good bird characters in it. So. Not very educational, but it's cute. Okay. Well, I actually have to head off. I'm allowed outside because I'm in Adelaide. So.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Jealousy, right?
Well, I can go out for exercise, going shopping, or visiting my partner. That's
yep.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So other than that, I'm going to stay inside. Do you have to wear masks when you go out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we do too. I can't wait until we've hit our vaccination target. I think they said 70% for the first jab and 80% double vaccinated, and then it will be safe, apparently.
I had my first one today, so
yay.
I'm pretty happy.
Yep. I already had mine, both doses. I just hope this all goes away soon. Bored.
That would be nice.
Oh,
be
yeah.
Good.
So everything's going to go ahead for the wedding, all good?
Yes, it should be. I've got some, for listeners, I'm getting married in a few weeks. Yes, it should be going ahead. We've got some rules that have to change, like we're not allowed to dance. Yeah, we were allowed to dance until a few days ago when they changed the rules again, said that because we would have more than 50 people, we're not allowed to dance now. So, but before it was, if you have, you're not allowed more than 50 at all, so...
Well, at least it's still happening. So
a toss-up.
Cool.
And I think we have to wear masks some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm getting a pretty one made, so I'm actually going to get my dress fitting right now. So we've got masks for that. Wedding masks, people. That's that's going to be a fun memory for the future.
Oh.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking with me.
No worries.
Robin. I hope people learn something about this. Goodbye, Stormy. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again, Robin, for talking with me, and sorry again for the complete mess up with the audio. I also made a mistake there. I said Animal Paws is the game. It's actually called Garden Paws. It's a really fun game. You go around and you farm things and you do little missions. It's very cute, and I'm enjoying it more than I enjoyed Animal Crossing, so that's probably why my brain went Animal Paws. Also, just so you know, the wedding went fantastically. I got to see a whole lot of amazing animals, which is a funny thing to say about a wedding, but I did. Because as you heard then, we thought we weren't allowed to dance, so we booked animal capers to come, which has native animals, and we booked a magician. And then on the Thursday before the wedding, the rules changed again and we were allowed to dance. This is not, as long as there's not more than 50 people on the dance floor. So I was like, oh my gosh, very excited. And so we actually got to dance a bit. But because I booked so many things, our time was sort of split. But people said it was a magical fairy tale sort of event. And I was very happy for the most part. A few tiny little things, but there always is. I've heard, and it didn't go long enough, which is something else that everyone always says. I've shared a few photos to the Facebook page of me with an owl, and the ferrets were mentioned in a few of the speeches. Everyone knows us so well. Yes, so if you could please subscribe, follow, join me on Facebook, Stolen Our Hearts, send me an email, offer to be a guest. I'm happy to talk to you. It doesn't have to be for 49 minutes. It can be a short little interview. Just a little chat and get some information out there about pet care. And again, if you know anyone interested in exotic pets, please share the link to the podcast. Talk to you next week.